news I gained just yesterday dismayed all that I learned. The emptiness of life examined, time can't be returned.
Hello out there, and welcome to another episode of Things I Learned While Learning Other Things. This is an attempt by me, Joe Morahan, and my brother J.S. to provide you with a series of interesting, informative, educational, and yeah, we hope enjoyable stories that will help you navigate through those high seas of life. Today we introduce Already Gone. On May 18th, Glenn Frey of the Eagles will have been already gone for 100 months now. And I find this recognition to be absolutely stunning. It seemed like only yesterday we got the news. I can remember exactly where I was when my brother called me to provide me the news that Glenn Frey had died suddenly at the age of only 67. And it's shockingly young. You know, he died following complications of surgery due ulcerative colitis, among other gastrointestinal issues, and pneumonia. And even given access to the world's finest medical specialists, it proved impossible to save the life of Glenn Frey. I mean, how could this possibly be? How this might possibly have occurred, I can't tell you why. Cindy Frey, Glenn Frey's wife of 25 years, certainly couldn't understand it either, which probably explains why Frey's girl from yesterday sued New York City's Mount Sinai Hospital and its treating gastroenterologist, alleging the wrongful death and professional negligence on the part of the hospital and staff for failing to provide her deceased husband with proper care. Presumably, Glenn Frey had been a victim of love, of life in the fast lane as well. His peaceful, easy feeling no doubt was supported, stoked by, and even fueled, as he had admitted, by a reliance on drugs and alcohol for a long time. This is no indictment. It's just the way it was. In fact, it's the heart of the matter. It's about forgiveness. For while he lived, Glenn Frey lived. He got things done. He achieved amazing feats. From a young age, Frey wanted to be rich, he wanted to be famous, and he wanted lots of women. And from this perspective, yeah, not only had he fulfilled his dreams, he had taken it to the limit and then some. Glenn Frey wasn't much for taking it easy. He was the ultra alpha male. He was talented, he was creative, and he knew exactly what he wanted. He was bound and determined to get it all. He would not be stymied. He was the spark plug, if you will, of the Eagles. He was captain of the ship. Nothing happened until he kicked things into gear, kicked the band into making music. A man with a work ethic that just would not quit. And I personally had always thought it had been Don Henley who was the alpha dog of the Eagles, but it turns out it was Glenn Frey. He may have backed off in their second run, but Frey was truly the leader of the band, the driver, the quarterback of the band's blend of music and business. And as on the gridiron, there is only one quarterback on the field. And guess what? Glenn Frey played quarterback. He called the plays. He led the team. To ponder about things is merely to dream. And Frey was not just a dreamer. He was a doer. As Paul Simon once sang, albeit in a different context, Frey was the man with a plan. And teamed with his superior, talented bandmates, he achieved all he had set his mind to accomplishing. And one can speak of the Eagles with the same degree of awe with which one might speak of contemporary mega star acts. Fleetwood Mac and Led Zeppelin, for example. Fry, Henley, Bernie Ledden, Randy Meisner, later the addition of Joe Walsh, Timothy B. Schmidt, Don Fingerfelder, and the Eagles pumped out fabulous musical productions. And the Eagles were notorious for their disdain for and their contentious relations with the press and critics who would just not give them their due, consistently belittled and dissed and wrote off the band and their songs as the product of musical lightweights. And this rankled to the core. I mean, this just infuriated Glenn Frey and Don Henley especially, and they could hold a grudge. Boy, could they hold a grudge. And justifiably proud of he and his band's achievements. Ultimately, Frey's response to critics who refused to take the band seriously was simply to check off, one by one, their hit songs. The evidence of their greatness lie in Take It Easy, Lion Eyes, Peaceful Easy Feeling, Take It to the Limit, Desperado, Life in the Fast Lane, One of These Nights, Tequila Sunrise, New Kid in Town, The Last Resort, and Hotel California, of course. And on the list went. And in the end, the critics had to be discredited, their criticism invalidated, just squashed by the Eagles' very evident audience response to their music. They were to be the ultimate, the fans were, the ultimate judges of the quality of the band's quality and worldwide appeal. Two big critics were not the arbiters of excellence. Let the numbers speak for themselves. Really, who might seriously refute the argument made by Glenn Frey and by Henley? The numbers do not lie. This is not Mark Twain playing with statistics. This is the real deal. One does not sell 150 million albums and CDs around the world. One does not produce music instantaneously recognizable even today by patrons seated in restaurants 50 years after their songs were first released. If the Eagles and Frey and Henley hadn't been so busy being fabulous. I mean, 5.3 billion with a B streams later and counting of their hit songs on Spotify alone, nearly 3 million streams per day, are surely the strongest signal, the best argument that can be made that, yeah, Glenn Frey, Don Henley, and the Eagles were damn good. They were that good. Glenn Frey, Henley, and Eagle bandmates were all that and more. You know, I think about Frey and Henley all the time. It's not pure nostalgia on my part. It's respect for their catalog of hit songs, their noted commitment to excellence, their work ethic, their originality, creativity, and longevity. They deserve all the adulation they still receive. And as for that, comment as to my fandom thing, honestly, I still remember as clearly as if it were just yesterday. This is scary, actually, as in reality, it was a lifetime ago. In late August of 1972, just prior to beginning my sophomore year at Notre Dame, I was painting my dorm room, enjoying a few cold ones, while Take It Easy played repeatedly all day long on AM radio. The song had been released only months before that, past May, and the song had rocketed its way up to the top of the Billboard charts. And Take It Easy was only the beginning of things to come. I had been, until that point, a big Stones, Dylan, CCR, and Grateful Dead fan at that point in my life. But no one could seriously dispute the fabulous nature that was the country rock harmonies of this newly established band, the Eagles. except for the music critics, of course, and they don't count. It was easy listening, but so what, man? They were so good. And then those hits, they just kept on coming and coming, one after another, year after year, for nearly a decade, until the band, they just imploded from within in 1980. You know, as John Lennon once angrily had responded to reporters whom inquired of Lennon as to whether or not the fact that the fundamentalists were busy burning Beatles records in the American South in protest to something Lennon had said that offended their religious sensibilities, you know, and potentially threatened the Beatles' popularity, and the reporters wondered whether it was going to hurt record sales, and was the band worried about this? And Lennon just barked, "Hey, we'll tell you when it's over." And they did, by the way. And so it would be that Glenn Frey simply walked away from the band in 1980. Hotel California had just been released. It was the zenith, man. No band spokesman made an announcement. There'd be no press release. Simply, the gig was up. Frey was gone. The Eagles were gone. Work, stress, fighting the critics, initiating and opposing lawsuits with their record labels, all the travel, those 3E nights, whoa, life in hotel rooms. And similarly, in theme to that of the 1960s fast-living English footballer, you know, superstar Georgie Best, whom once... once in a moment of honest, serious reflection, so memorably had informed the group of reporters that had gathered, you know, assembled near his locker, that I had spent a lot of money on booze, birds, and gambling. And the rest, I just squandered. Well, the Eagles definitely had not wasted time. They themselves were simply wasted, spent. They were exhausted, and for now, it was over. The Eagles had crashed so hard, you know, as had Icarus. They'd flown too damn close to the sun for too long. There would be no more Tequila Sunrise for this band, not for 14 years. And for Eagles, it truly was a heartache tonight. You know, during that first nearly decade-long run, the songs had over the course of time matured. They became ever more thoughtful, the lyrics, ever more reflective, incredibly cynical, but meaningful ballads with the passage of time. And as the band honed their skills, culminating, of course, in the haunting and still mysterious, you know, what's it all about, Alfie? Hotel California, it was an anthem for the ages, the zenith of their star power. Hotel California sealed the Eagles' reputation as just a great band, one of the great bands of the era, and it sealed their fate too. The process by which the band mastered their hit songs and produced their albums had just taken its toll on them personally. It had proven a torturous existence, a torturous process, and one that had drained them completely. Later, Glenn Frey would relate that he even hated the thought of returning to the studio. It was pure drudgery at that point. You know, the thought of going to work to produce music repelled him. No longer making beautiful music, you know, as B.B. King had once made famous, the thrill was gone. He and Don Henley, not exactly not an alpha male himself, they could not put their creative differences behind them. They simply could not get over it. And in 1980, the band, the Eagles, ceased to be. The long run was over. So let's stop here, and we're going to continue with more of Already Gone, Glenn Frey, in our next episode. Hey, thanks for listening, and we'll be back. Bye-bye.
the harbor, head out to the sea. Crystal blue water surrounding me. Tap to the wind, taste the sea breeze. Tropical heaven on the coral sea. A little more rum, I think of my wife. What did I do? Have I ruined my life? Tell her I've changed, become a new man. I promise I will, and I know that I can. When did the skies change? When did we turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? The sea's now boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. Years from tomorrow, days from the land. Nothing can save me unless fate lends a hand. Storm, it is worse than I know. The wind and the waves are taking their toll. I look to the stars, there's none I can see. I'm afraid fate, she has answered me. Only moments my story will end. There was a story I wanted to send. Oh, how I dream for the calm of the sea. Face smiling back at me. The sea is boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas.